Silence!
Oppenheimer!
I think they're talking about us. No way.
I myself am strange and unusual.
This is Nerd Play Radio!
Nerd alert!
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
See, this is the stuff that brings nerds together.
So it's sort of social. Demented and sad, but social, right?
If I'm interested in it, then by definition, it is nerdy.
Are you in loser denial or something?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
My dad's a nerd.
And welcome to episode 164 of Nerd Pride Radio. 164, the number of plain squares on a Scrabble board. That's right, it's a 15 by 15 board. 61 of those squares have either double or triple word or letter on them. That leaves 164 regular spaces.
Nerd!
Thank you. So ask me how I'm doing today. Go on, ask me.
How are you doing?
I am awesome. My name is Mike Jones. I am a D&D slash Pathfinder nerd, a history nerd, a sci-fi nerd, a comic book nerd, computer nerd, movie nerd, comedy nerd, science nerd, gaming nerd plus. There's like seven other kinds of nerd. I only wish I was nerdy enough to be. You are listening to Nerd Pride Radio, the place I go every week to haver on about all the nerd stuff that just won't fit in my about all the nerd.
You wrote it, man.
I know, but I'm wondering why it says nerd is misspelled. Well, I don't know why. Suddenly it like decided to spell check me here and it tells me that that's not right.
Wait, if you're going to talk about the it stuff says, that can't fit in your head, it, how are you talking about it then?
Alright, you know what? You and your logical inconsistencies can just go back to playing your little games over there, alright? Alright. Apparently it was supposed to be nerdy. All the nerd stuff that, alright, that just won't fit in my skull anymore. One of those voices was Aiden, and he's now leaving for work. Bye, Aiden.
I love you guys.
Alright.
Except for you, Greg.
We don't have a Greg.
He doesn't know that.
Sweet. Our sponsor this week, the Kowalski Baking Company of New York. Alright. Updates! This will be our first thing. Don't forget to think about the Nerd Pride Deadpool. It's coming up. I need lists for anyone who wants to participate in Nerd Pride Deadpool. I need your lists by Christmas Eve this year, so that's, you know, what, 3 or 4 weeks away? So start thinking about that, if you haven't already. And what else do I have for updates? I've got, well, Paranoia's going pretty good, but nothing to say on that one yet. This is, again, just teasers. It's going really well. I think we're getting close to the end, but, you know, I keep thinking that, and then things keep happening. So we'll see how they wrap this up. Maybe if I could get out more than a post a week, we'd be moving faster. But, hey, it's vacation. All right. Anyway, enough messing around. It's time for the meticulously plotted portion of this podcast. This is the time for me when I talk about whatever has been on my mind for the last week. If something strikes me as interesting during the course of my busy, busy week, I add it to my master list in my handy-dandy pocket mod, and the very best stuff off of that list gets spewed out all over you guys every week when I record. You lucky dogs. So, straight into my master list. Actually, I'm going to do a short episode today because it's Thanksgiving weekend. We had a lot of stuff going on. And we're kind of playing catch up now, and so therefore, short on time. So instead of doing a full meticulously plotted portion of the podcast, I think I'm going to open up with some fingertips.
Fingertips, fingertips, fingertips.
That's right, fingertips stuff that I've got on my master list. Just didn't feel like putting into a full sized piece. So I'm just going to ramble on for a couple minutes about each of these, and we'll get them crossed off. So first up, new car. Did I mention last week that my car got smashed? I think I already talked about that. So yeah, parked out on the street, and some lady came along and just slammed right into my parked car and destroyed the back end of it. And as it turns out, her insurance company is just going to fix it. Like I'm pretty sure I know what the blue book value is on my car, and I'm pretty sure I'm really surprised that they're going to put like $7,000 into getting this thing repaired. So, hey, lucky me, right? So I feel good that, that State Farm apparently treats people well when it's not their fault. So very cool. And in addition to getting my car fixed, which is happening this week, hopefully I get it back, you know, by Wednesday or so. In the meantime, they also said, hey, do you need a rental car in the meantime? Heck yeah, I need a rental car. And so I went down there and they said, well, you qualify for the midline is what State Farm is paying for, but we don't have any of those on hand. So lucky you, you get the free upgrade. They gave me a Ford Fusion 2016. And oh man, do I like driving this car around? Oh, you know what? And not even necessarily for the car itself. Cause you know, it's a nice car. All right. It handles well. It's got, you know, it feels good. There's all sorts of nice things about driving in a brand new car. But the most exciting part for me is this dashboard, this control panel. Oh, wow. I get in there and it recognizes my phone and I've got dashboard controls that I can use to make my phone calls. And I know some of you have already done this. Some of you live your lives this way because you're very lucky people. But for me, I knew this was all possible, but to actually have it right there at my fingertips, oh, it's so cool. So every time I get in, I don't even take my phone out of my pocket. I get in, it knows what podcast I've been listening to, picks right up wherever I left off, and off we go. I love driving this. I don't even care about getting a new car once mine's fixed, but man, to get a system like this set up with the dashboard display and all the connections and, oh, so happy. So happy. It's a lot of fun. So, that was it. Just wanted to mention that I'm driving a really nice car for a week. Let's see what else. Oh, if you didn't catch on from the sponsor, we did go and see Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them this weekend. And we went to the Marcus Majestic Theater in Omaha, which is just absolutely gorgeous. And I've mentioned before that we just like being in the recliners and getting to watch a movie. It's nice to be able to get the tickets online, get everything reserved ahead of time, and which, I know that's how most people live their lives. We don't. We don't get to reserve our seats ahead of time before we get to a theater. So here we know we've got the right seats. We know everything's taken care of. We just show up. I flash my phone at them, and boom, we're in a theater. It is awesome. So, but hey, me being a backwoods bumpkin raving about the awesome high-tech big city theater isn't really what we're here for. Fantastic Beasts. We had a great time watching Fantastic Beasts. And I'll tell you, it feels like a kid's movie. I mean, it's got some dark moments, but mostly it feels like a kid's movie. And the story isn't particularly complex or deep. I mean, you kind of see a lot of things coming. But the world is really amazing. The acting is really good in it. The world is amazing. The Fantastic Beasts are pretty damn fantastic. And so for that, to get myself immersed in this world of Harry Potter again, was just a lot of fun. Like I say, I don't think it's going to be all that memorable years from now. I mean, it's not, but it was definitely worth my time. You know, not a great movie, but a good movie and a lot of fun. So, and since it's supposed to be the first of what, four or five movies that they're going to be having, they've already introduced the name of Albus Dumbledore as someone who is functioning as a Hogwarts professor at the time this movie takes place. So we've got Dumbledore introduced in, so maybe he'll be featuring into some of the later movies. Who knows what they're going to wind up doing? Are they going to keep this American focus and stay in the States and maybe introduce us to the American Wizarding School? Maybe. Who knows what they're going to do? But they've got several movies to do it in, and so we'll see where they go. And so hopefully they make something really fun out of this series. I mean, look, we got them coming, so we might as well hope they're good, right? All right. What else do I have on fingertips? We played Cards Against Humanity this weekend a lot. And because we had Thanksgiving Day at our house, and then after most people left, my brother-in-law stuck around, and so me and Lisa and the two boys and my brother-in-law Andy, Caleb's dad, in fact, if you guys remember Caleb from a few episodes ago. And so the five of us sat around playing Cards Against Humanity all night long, and I mean like till 2:30 in the morning, and we had such a good time. I love Cards Against Humanity. Those people are awesome. Their game is awesome. Right now, I think they are still running their Black Friday special, where every amount of money that you give to them contributes to extra time on them digging a giant hole. And as long as they keep getting money, they will keep digging this hole. So if that interests you, then you should go participate in that, because that is what they're doing for Black Friday. And as you'll see in their frequently asked questions, is there any deeper meaning to this? Nope. And my favorite frequently asked question is, how come you aren't giving this money away to charity or something? And their response is, how come you're not giving this money away to charity? It's your money. Jeez. No, we said we'd take it to dig a hole, so that's what we're doing. So, and then we actually went in last night. We had Thanksgiving out at the in-laws' place, and after dinner was done and the kids went and settled in with movies and playing games and stuff, we wound up, all the adults in the kitchen, like nine of us, sitting around playing Cards Against Humanity again, and again had a great time. So, man, I love Cards Against Humanity. But, you know what? That's all the fingertips I had. I told you, it's going to be a quick episode. We're going to power through this pretty quick. Before I get to the Podomatic, though, I should do a little bit of Roku. Roku is the box that I used to watch all my streaming services on, and I don't anymore because I have smart TVs and stuff like that. But I still like to call this segment Roku whenever I talk about television. And what I've seen the last couple of weeks that has been new for me, I am in the mood for, because, you know, I got rushed through all the television that was waiting for me, and now we've got some stuff that my wife and I are watching together, but that's, you know, it's slow. It's when we can find time together that we can actually focus on a TV show and we don't have other things that we're taking care of. And so, for myself, there's all sorts of great shows, old and new, out there that I want to get invested in, but man, they seem like a lot of work. It feels like a lot of effort to start falling in love with a new show and getting as deep into it as you have to get. And so I've been looking for cartoons and cartoon-type shows where it's something that I don't have to think about a whole lot, and episodes are only, you know, 22 minutes, so I get through them pretty quick. And so I have wound up watching Archer, for one, which I know Archer's been around forever. You guys have all seen a bunch of it. And I've tried watching Archer before and just never quite got into it. It just seemed silly. But it's just one of those shows that finally, by about episode 6 or 7, I forced myself to keep watching, even though it's like, okay, I see where it's funny, but, you know, whatever. By episode 6 or 7, okay, now I know all the characters. Now, see, all that investment that I was wanting to avoid with other shows, yeah, I had to put in that same investment for this show. And it winds up being very entertaining. Really like Archer. And, you know, I get, for being as edgy and far out and weird as it can be at times, it still follows a really standard sitcom formula. I mean, your standard sitcom formula is you create a cast of really quirky characters, and not all sitcoms, but a lot of them, especially the ensemble workplace style sitcoms. And you create this cast of quirky characters, and then you create unusual situations, and then each of the quirky characters responds as their quirky character. They do, you know, I'm trying to think of the one, Just Shoot Me. You know that when you were watching Just Shoot Me, no matter what the situation was, we were going to go around the room and David Spade was going to say something really snarky, and Nina was going to say something completely self-centered and kind of bitchy. And, you know, I mean, everyone just responds to whatever it is in their own, you know, whatever their eccentric character is. And it's always a one-note character. It's always pretty much the same kind of joke from each one of them every time. And yet, that's what we love. We like that repetition. That's what makes sitcoms popular, is people know what to expect. And Archer follows a lot of that same thing. Big cast of quirky characters. We create weird situations, and we know that Archer is going to be stupid and self-centered and kind of a horn dog. We know that his mom is going to be this self-centered, manipulating, overbearing, etc., etc. And yet, again, I'm really entertained by it. So now I've got Archer that has, you know, what, 6 seasons on it? 7, 15? I have no idea how many it's got. But there's a lot of Archer out there. So this is one that I can just keep on whenever I need something to fill a little bit of time. I'm just you know, ready to fall asleep and I need something to watch for a half hour, there it is. Awesome. One of the other ones, this one isn't a cartoon, but might as well be half the time, Angie Tribeca. If you haven't seen Angie Tribeca, it's got Rashida Jones in it from Parks and Rec and as Angie Tribeca. And I'm watching it on Hulu, I think. And Angie Tribeca is a police comedy show very much in the style of the old Police Squad, the old Airplane movies, the Zucker Brothers. And it is really, really funny. I mean, stupid. Absolutely stupid. I mean, it is, again, it's Airplane style jokes. They give you a setup and then someone interprets that literally. And then, yeah, I mean, it's just, but it's well done. It is, it's that style of comedy brought back and we get to see it in a TV show in the way we haven't in ages. And so I watched, there was only 10 episodes, so I've seen all of them now. I know there's a season 2 out, but season 2 isn't on Hulu. So I watched what I could, but it was a lot of fun. So I like that one. And then the other one, and I'm just now getting into it. I think I've just started the third episode. I saw the first episode with my kids, and then later I saw like episode 5 or 6. I just happened to walk in and I saw a later episode. And so now I'm going back and I'm watching them all in order. But if you have not seen One Punch Man, go watch One Punch Man. I'm watching it on Hulu right now. And One Punch Man is hysterical. It is a Japanese anime, and the version I'm watching on Hulu, my son, Jacob, says that the dub is actually really good, but I don't have the dub available, so I'm watching it with the captions on, and even subtitled, having a great time. And One Punch Man, the premise behind this show is that Saitama, who is One Punch Man, is a dude who, through rigorous training, he was once a normal human being, but through rigorous training, he has perfected his mind and body to the point where he can defeat any villain in one punch. Thus, the name One Punch Man. So when he comes into a battle, you just wait for it, and you wait for it, and finally he throws that one punch, battle's over. And it is a commentary on all sorts of superhero style stuff, and also a lot of monster style anime. I mean, there's some of these that show up where the bad guy for the week is clearly a send up of some other famous. I mean, one of the first ones that I saw him fight was a dude who was clearly just a recolored version of someone from Dragon Ball Z, and later he fights a giant that is clearly one of the giants from Attack on Titan, even though they've remodeled it in a way. And the show just kills me every time. It is hysterical because he's One Punch Man. And he has no real backstory. I mean, you know, they give him some backstory, but it's essentially that, well, you know, I decided that I wanted to be a superhero. I wanted basically for fun, but you know, I wanted to do this and it seemed like a fun thing to do. So I trained rigorously every day for 3 years. 100 push-ups, 100 sit-ups, 100 squats, and then a 10K run. I did that every day for 3 years, and now I am One Punch Man. And, I mean, that's really all of his backstory so far. And yet, all of the villains, every villain, every other character other than Saitama who shows up in this thing, they're all highly developed. They all have these huge, long backstories, these complex motivations. They go through the entire Bond villain style speech to explain everything that's gone on in their lives, what brought them to this point, what they're planning on doing, all of it. And then, of course, the battle ends in one punch. And, man, you would think that joke would get old, but it doesn't. So, I mean, again, I've only seen now grand total 3.5 episodes, but I am so loving One Punch Man. So give that one a shot. You so worth your time. I mean, seriously, what have you got to lose? It's 20 minutes for an episode, so go watch 2 episodes. If you don't like it, walk away from it. But if you do like it, you'll thank me for this, because this is really funny. All right, that's the end of the meticulously plotted portion of the podcast. You know what that means? That's right. It's time for the I can't drag it out anymore, because we really got to get going. O-matic. Hot dog, This is the Nerd Pride Radio Pod-O-Matic. At the end of every cast, I bring out R2 in his fully pimped out Pod-O-Matic bubble, and he rolls up random topics for me to talk about. And where do these topics come from, you ask? Well, that is where you come in. You want to hear me haver on about something? Then send your question or topic to me by email, or better yet, in a private message on my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds. I will add it to my Pod-O-Matic list. Pod-O-Matic is about whatever you want it to be. And the first number is 16. And look at that, 16 is right here on the front page. I don't even have to go flipping around for it. This one is from Mrs. Darks. And Mrs. Darks asks, what's your favorite mode of transportation? Self-driving car. I am so excited to get my self-driving car that I will get in, I'll tell it where I'm going, and then I will sit back and relax, play on my phone, do some online gaming. I don't care. I could do anything I want. I could take a nap, and then when I get where I'm going, it'll wake me up. That would be my favorite. Well, although, you know, if I can go for things that don't actually exist and that I haven't actually experienced for myself yet, I suppose Starship would be another great one. A faster-than-light Starship would actually be really, really cool. But look, the genius of the smart car, the self-driving car that makes it such an ideal form of transportation is the idea that I get to get in and I'm not driving and then I get where I'm going. And so however long it takes, I mean, to me, riding on a bus, not that bad, you know? I mean, yes, school buses on field trips is kind of, it's kind of bumpy and loud and full of kids. But, you know, a bus ride is not a bad thing because, you know, if you've got the comfortable seats and you're not, okay, see, that's the drawback, by the way, to buses and airplanes is it's the other people who you don't know and yet they may be seated elbow to elbow with you and they may be a little bit in your space and they may, but again, the idea that I get on a mode of transportation and then I get to read a book until we get where we're going. I get to play on my phone, which is probably what I would be doing. I get to do whatever. And then we get there. Oh, me not having to be responsible for the actual driving portion of it, that makes a good mode of transportation for me. So you know, I suppose, you know, for all that matters, I don't really need the self-driving car as much as I need a chauffeur. I mean, you know. But hey, but self-driving car would be my first choice. Let's see. I've done train, I've done plane, boat, cruise ship, I guess, is not bad. Cruise ship is a pretty nice way to travel. I mean, honestly, free buffets 24 hours a day everywhere you go. Obviously, I'm not driving the boat. I have plenty of time to go, you know, take line dancing lessons or go see a comedian or get to hang out with my wife, do whatever we want to do. Go, you know, hit golf balls off into the ocean, get scuba diving lessons. There's lots of things that you get to do on a cruise ship, and you don't have to drive yourself. So that was pretty cool, too. But, yeah, I'm still going to go with self-driving car. That's going to be my ultimate. All right, 23 comes from... It's not that far down. You'd think I'd be there already. Ah, it's from Kyle. And Kyle says, what was the most memorable comic storyline you still remember from when we used to collect comics back in the day? Obviously, I loved the Magic storyline in X-Men and New Mutants. What's yours? I got to give it up to Magic. Magic is still my favorite of all those old ones. I mean, when it comes to memorable comic book storyline, I mean, I still, you know, I mean, you know, Secret Wars was pretty damn memorable. Crisis on Infinite Earths, again, really memorable, but both of them convoluted and a little bit contrived. And, yeah, Magic was a really good one. I really like Magic. It had time travel, and it had alternate universes, and it had alternate versions of people, and was really cool. And eventually tied up in what, at least according to my memory, was a very consistent way. I really liked Magic. That was an awesome series. Other than Magic, I don't think there were any other miniseries that I was quite as enamored of as much as that one. I mean... you know, at the time, the Avengers were going through some weird stuff. I remember we did a lot of stuff with the underground mutants. What was the name of those? I remember Caliban was one of them, but I don't remember the name that they gave to that group. What was it? It was the same as the Morlocks. That was the name of them. Oh, God. I'm like, yeah, it's from the Time Machine. It's from, Morlocks. I remember a lot of that, but I wasn't terribly thrilled about it. I liked a lot of the stuff that we had with New Mutants and the Hellfire Club and the Hellions to go along with that. I thought those were pretty cool. But again, you'll notice, guys, that our comic books when we were kids were really X-Men oriented. We were very mutant centric in those days. But yeah, Magic is still number one, dude. And I mean, I know you have a claim on that one, that Magic is really your thing, but dude, I love that comic. It's awesome. 19. All right, 19 is also from Kyle. And Kyle says, okay, assume the following scenario. My name is Mike Jones, and I really, really hate the Irish. Those damn dirty Irish. That's just cruel, dude. Okay, I've now assumed that scenario, and I've decided I don't like the person I've become. Okay, there you go. Was there more to it than that? No? All right, let's move on. 93 is way the heck down here. I missed it. Sorry, guys. I guess there's no going back. It's only a one-way time machine. Oh, there it is. And it's also from Kyle. Kyle says, why do invisible creatures have to become visible when they attack in Pathfinder? That's dumb and a ham-handed way to make it more fair, right? Well, yeah. Yeah, it is. But, you know, that's why they have improved invisibility. But, I mean, look. You can certainly find a way to justify it. You know, when you basic invisibility in Dungeons and Dragons and Pathfinder, basic invisibility requires that you not interact too heavily with your environment. Specifically, you can't do anything aggressive and attacking. You can, however, interact with the environment to pick stuff up, carry it around, do lots of things with it, as long as you're not attacking somebody. So how it knows the difference between, throwing a rock to make some noise to get someone's attention as opposed to throwing a rock to hit them in the head. Somehow the invisibility spell knows, and if you're throwing a rock to hit somebody, then you become visible. Attacking immediately cancels your invisibility. And thus you get improved invisibility later, which doesn't have those issues. But, I mean, look, if you want to come up with some theories behind it that, I can't come up with any good ones. You're right. It's kind of a ham-handed way to just make things more fair. Because you want to be able to turn invisible for certain things when you're low level, but if we allow you to just be invisible and attack that way, oh, that would be a little too powerful until you're a higher level, and then it's okay. But at a low level, you can only use your invisibility for pre-approved stuff. I'm with you. It's ham-handed. You're right. 64. And 64 is... There it is. No, it's not. I am so bad at this. I'm sorry, guys. There we go. It's from Irish Fan. Irish Fan says, how great is the WWE Network? I'm thinking WWF, World Wildlife Fund. Damn. So good. All right. The WWE Network. My kids are pro wrestling nerds. We used to purchase every monthly pay-per-view at $50 to $90 a pop. With the WWE Network, we get all of the pay-per-views plus all the other programming for only $10 a month. Is this a sound business model? Who cares? It's saving me tons of money. Oh, dude, that sounds awesome. I am not a huge pro wrestling fan. I've gone to pro wrestling, as I've mentioned in the past, and I enjoy a pro wrestling show live the one time I went. It was a lot of fun. A lot of fun. Well, that's great stuff, and I can see how you can get caught up in it. My buddy Joel, who I've talked about many times, Joel is a huge pro wrestling fan. I mean, he loves pro wrestling. He loves wrestling in any form he can get it, and, he especially enjoys the Mexican luchadors. He loves Mexican wrestling, and I get it. I get the appeal to it. You know, I'm not gonna knock anybody for their choice of entertainment here, but for me, not something I've gotten into. But yeah, $10 a month and you get all the pay per views, dude. You can't go wrong. I mean, again, yeah. Who knows what brought them to that, where they were making, yeah, like you say, $50 to $90 a pop for a pay per view. Well, two of those in a year, and all right, now you've got your WWE network paid for with just two events. Do you think the average person didn't order more than a couple events a year, or that people would spend the money for the pay per view and thus they'd get a bunch of people together and they'd have a big wrestling watching party, and thus this way you're getting more of those people paying for the network themselves, and then we can show up at anybody's house to watch it? Who knows? But either way, yeah, dude, that sounds like a deal and a half. That's awesome. All right. Last one, I think. 47. 47 is... Oh, God darn it. I thought I was going to do it right this time. I'm just not very good at this. It's from Master. Hey, Master. Master says, have you watched the show Dark Matter? Oh, yes. I've just talked about it. Sometime in the last six episodes, I have talked about Dark Matter. I love Dark Matter. I think it's great. I really do. I think it's a great campy sort of sci-fi TV show that, again, I think when it was created, they wanted to have that Firefly feel to it while being a little more serious. I mean, that same cast of characters, that same, you know, it's that same cast of characters on a rogue ship who are constantly running from the law, but instead of doing that Wild West feel, they did more of a Canadian feel. And so it is a little bit more serious than Firefly was most of the time, but still has its levity, still has its quirky characters, still has its really interesting stuff. And I think season one was a little bit simplistic. Season two has really fleshed out some of these subplots and some of this political stuff going on, and made it a much more complex show. It's got a lot more texture to it. It's a little deeper, and I really like season two. I mean, I love season one. I love season one enough that I kept the thing in my queue so I could see whenever season two showed up. I was waiting for it because I really liked season one, but season two got even better. So Dark Matter, I think, is a great show. I am all for it. Any of you guys who haven't tried out Dark Matter, if you've got an interest in sci-fi at all, and you probably do because you listen to this podcast, you know, go check it out. It's on Netflix. You got both seasons are free. So go check it out. Give it a shot. I think you will really enjoy it. So there you go. All right. That's the end of the Podomatic. I'm going to turn it over to Gladys, and she's going to give you a recap of this episode so far.
Remember when the platform was sliding into the fire pit and I said goodbye, and you were like,
no way.
And then I was all, we pretended we were going to murder you.
That was great.
This podcast is copyright 2016 by Nerd Pride Radio. The opening and closing theme is Death Metal Disco by Ian Kronk. My bumper music this week was Fingertips by They Might Be Giants, and that would be it. All the songs I use are available on iTunes. You check them out, you buy them, you enjoy them. I wouldn't put them in my podcast if I didn't love them. If you want instructions on how to make your very own pocket mod, just like the one I use for my master list, you go on over to pocketmod.com. They will teach you how to print and fold your very own pocket mod for free. In fact, you don't even need to print it. You can just use plain old paper. But they have a lot of pre-printed options that are pretty cool, too. So don't forget, this podcast is a proud member of the Nerd Pride Network, Anger Geeks Versus, Casting the Curious, Me Like Trivia, quality nerd podcasting from quality nerd people. If you want to do something nice for this podcast, recommend it to your friends. If you enjoy it, spread the word and let other people enjoy it as well. Word of mouth is my bread and butter, people. Remember, I am always looking for you listeners to do my work for me, and you haven't been lately, damn you. I am so disappointed. So disappointed in each and every one of you, except maybe Nellie and Sarah Beth. Hold on. Let me flip ahead. Let me give you a quick preview of what's coming up in the listener betrayal segment, and I'll tell you who I'm disappointed in. Oh, wait. Hold on. I've got something from Kaz. All right, Kaz, I love you, and I'm not disappointed in you. So, look at this. There's more people. There's Kaz. There's Talvin. There's lots of Talvin. All right. All right, fine. I guess I'm not that disappointed in you guys. I thought I was. But you know what? It came around. You guys shaped it up. So anyway, now I've completely lost my place. I don't remember what I was doing at all. I said, oh, that's right. That's right. I'm always looking for you listeners to do my work for me. So don't forget to send me questions and topics for the Podomatic, which you've been doing. I think I'm middling to low, but not even close to running out yet. So you guys have been doing really well sending me some new ones. Thank you especially to Kyle, who just sent me a ton. That was awesome. Also, watch every week on the forums and Facebook for listener betrayal, which was what I was just looking at. Because I went in, I opened it up early, I got distracted, I didn't get to my listener betrayal or get to my recording right away, but listener betrayal had been open for like 2 hours. And so before I sit down to record, I go double check to see if anything's in there. Nobody, nothing after 2 hours. So I posted up Bueller. And now that brought him out of the woodwork. So apparently all you need is a Ferris Bueller reference. And anyway, also, seriously, guys, seriously, these nerd facts for the opening number, 164 today, 163 last week, it's going to be 165 next week. I am having the worst time. So if you've got a really interesting nerd fact about an upcoming episode number, for God's sake, send it to me. Save me all of that grueling research. I promise you, if you send it, I will use it, because I don't want to do that work myself. My contact information, mike@nerdprideradio.com, @nerdprideradio on Twitter, facebook.com/nerdprideradio. But to be totally honest, the very best way to talk to me is come sign up for my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds. Sign up there. Send me a message. We will hang out together. We will become best friends in the world. We'll have fun. And now, since I've completely tipped my hand, you guys already know it is time for listener betrayal. Before I start recording every podcast, sometimes way before, I go out to my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds. I go out to Facebook. I post up that I'm recording, and anything that you guys put on those, I will read off right here at the end of the cast. So let's get straight to it. I said, let's see, opening a little early this week. What do you want to talk about? Bueller. And then I get something from Talvin. Talvin says, hi, Mike. Did you have a great Thanksgiving? Yeah, I always have a great Thanksgiving. I mean, literally, I know I already talked about this a little bit, but it is every Thanksgiving for Thursday itself. We have a meal just here at home, just the family. And then we always end up inviting my wife's parents to come join us. So it's always me and the wife, 4 kids, and then my in-laws. And it's always wonderful, and they're very appreciative, and we have a really nice time. And our system for the meal is, look, we're going to cook a turkey. Now, everybody, all 6 of us, you get to pick one dish that you want to have show up at this meal. Whatever you want, we'll bring it. And so, therefore, we make just whatever everyone wants. And so, you know, we had 2 potatoes this time because someone wanted scalloped potatoes, someone wanted mashed potatoes and gravy. So, okay, we got 2 potato dishes. That's fine. Whatever they ask for. So, make sure we get rolls. God, last time no one asked for dinner rolls. We were so disappointed. So we got our meal together, and we have a good time. And this time, as I mentioned, my brother-in-law Andy came over and joined us as well, because Caleb was off with another aunt and uncle, and he was having dinner with them, and he was getting ready for Black Friday shopping with them, because, I don't know, they're crazy. And so, therefore, Andy had nowhere to go, so he came on over and joined us, and we had a wonderful time. It was really, really nice. And then, after we have Thanksgiving Day at our house, and we don't have to go anywhere, we don't have to do anything, it's just the in-laws, so it's not even like we have to fancy up the house too much. You don't have to go for that spotless cleaning that you do for important company. It's just family. So we hang out. And then Saturday after Thanksgiving, the Saturday after Thanksgiving is always, my mother-in-law has the huge Thanksgiving at her house, so that all of her kids, all of her grandkids are all invited. And for the most part, they all show up, and we have a blast out there. I mean, it's really, really fun. So, I mean, there's like 22 of us total now, something like that. I could do all the math. Even great-grandma showed up this time. And so it was really nice. And so, you know, everyone sits around. After dinner, we have some beers. We play some games. Cards Against Humanity in this particular case, and it was just really nice. So I had a wonderful Thanksgiving. Now, again, I got a lot of things to catch up on, but we're getting there. Let's see. Next up is also from Talvin, and Talvin says, what is your favorite holiday movie? I'll tell you, my favorite holiday movie used to be It's a Wonderful Life, but I can't seem to watch It's a Wonderful Life anymore. It feels tedious to me. I just can't get through it. It used to be A Christmas Story. I love A Christmas Story. But again, I've seen it so many times that I don't know. I mean, I enjoy with each of my kids as they've gotten older. We'll find a time when they're in the right age range for that, somewhere around 9 or 10. And we'll sit down and we'll watch A Christmas Story during the Christmas season because they haven't seen it yet. And it's always fun to watch with someone new, someone who's watching it with fresh eyes. And we have a really good time. But again, gotten kind of tedious. I suppose, I don't consider Die Hard a holiday movie, but if you want to consider Die Hard a holiday movie, still one of the most perfect movies of all time. So, and I know lots of TV channels do include it in their holiday lineup because so many people consider it a Christmas movie. So, but other than those, I mean, look, I liked Elf the first two times I saw it, and now, you know, there's so many, I don't know, so many holiday movies, I've just gotten tired of them. Maybe that's just me. So, I mean, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, always a classic. National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, certainly a classic. There's lots of decent ones out there, but I don't know. I'm not into holiday movies all that much, really. Although, having said that, go ahead, someone out on the boards, point out your favorite holiday movies, and then I'll see them and go, oh, yeah, no, I forgot about that. Yeah, no, that's awesome. That's yes, that one. So if you guys point them out, I'll realize how wrong I am here. But for right now, I'm going to say, I don't really care. Next up is Talvin. Talvin says, we always talk about how awesome DM Darks is, but how awesome is Mrs. Darks for sharing her husband's time with us? All right, I always made the assumption that he's kind of worthless around the house and he doesn't really help anyway and leaves her to do everything, so I don't feel like she's sacrificing that much. But for a serious answer, yeah, no, she's wonderful. And also, look, she's in on the games with us. Sarah Beth is wonderful, absolutely wonderful. And the idea that, yes, she'll give, because I know Pat's time for this game is not just a matter of him showing up Thursday night and running the game. I know that there's preparation that goes into it. I know he's got to get the maps ready. I know he's got to have all this stuff ahead of time. That, you know, he's got to refresh himself on all of it. He's got to make sure he's got all the characters plugged in. He's got to get all the maps plugged in. He's got to get our loot lined up for us. There's a lot to do. So I know it's more than just that 3 hours, 4 hours every Thursday or every other Thursday night. I know that there's more time than that goes into it, and I appreciate all of that. So thank you to Darks for doing it. Thank you to Mrs. Darks for putting up with it, because we have a blast. It's so much fun. All right. Next up is from Talvin, surprise. Holiday villain F. Mary Kill. Oh, see? Hans Gruber, right there. Fine. All right. It's an F. Mary Kill, so I have to pick one of my three choices that I am going to have a wild night of passion with, one that I'm going to marry, and one that I will kill. My choices are Hans Gruber, The Grinch, and Gremlins. Okay, Gremlins I do count as a holiday film, though, so strangely. All right, let's see. I have to kill the Gremlins because you can't do anything with gremlins. That's no, that would be bad. They're going to overrun the world and destroy everybody. No. So you have to kill the gremlins, period, done. So now the question is, you know, as much as I don't like the man, I'm going to have to marry the Grinch, because at least by the end of the story, he's redeemed himself, and his small heart did grow 3 sizes that day. You know, it turns out that he's a nice guy. And as much as I think being married to him would be kind of awful, I'm going to take the Grinch, because Hans Gruber would be an extremely selfish spouse, as far as I'm concerned. So I'll take my night of passion with Hans. you know, look, he's already shown his acting chops. He's got skills. He's a very intelligent and talented man. And as much as I think I might get along with him, in other ways, he is evil. And evil and cold and calculating, and I can't be married to that. So sex with Hans Gruber and marry the Grinch and kill the gremlins. There. All right. Next up from Talvin. Please observe a moment of silence for the passing of Ron Glass. Oh, tell me about it. That is sad. And he says, he continues on, thank you. While most geeks will remember him for his role on Firefly, I will always have fond memories of his role on Barney Miller. I always loved him in that role. Yeah, Ron Glass was awesome. I really liked Ron Glass. Ron Glass's IMDb page up until, I don't know if it's still this way or not, but his IMDb page was a picture of him when he was younger, and it was just so clearly, the photo just said, look, I'm Ron Glass. You want Ron Glass, you get Ron Glass. That's who I am. I really like the man. And yeah, I was very, very sad to hear that he had passed away. I believe he was 71 and just sad. So yeah, thank you for bringing that up, Talvin. I meant to mention that earlier and I completely forgot to write it down. So even though I do have a clicky pen now, I did acquire one and I should be keeping track of all that, but I forgot to write down Ron Glass when it came up. So thank you for that moment of silence. Next up from Talvin. May I just say, you are running an awesome game of Paranoia. While I certainly am not in a hurry for the game to end, I can't wait to see the final story and find out all the behind-the-scenes details. Thank you for running it. Oh, dude, I have had a blast. And yeah, I will give you guys the whole breakdown. The first lesson of which, the one that I can share with you, is I will never run a game with 12 players again. And I shouldn't say never, because things happen. But it's hard, and it is... that's one of the reasons that things have been going so slow. Usually I like the game to be very consistently 2 to 3 moves a week, which is easier to do when you only have 5 or 6 people playing. With 12, there's a lot to wait for, and you know, you can send out some partial moves, but you know, everybody's involved in such wild different stuff that it's just really hard to coordinate that. And then once I do have all the moves, now I'm looking at 12 people have all responded to me. I've got 12 things to mesh into a single cohesive whole, and it's a lot more work than I'm used to. And so, thus, we've slowed down, and it is, I'm going to guess that over the last couple of months, we've averaged 1.5 moves a week. So, always at least once a week, and sometimes twice. And sometimes, yeah, it'll be like 3 or 4, but that's when they kind of come in a flood because there's a back and forth going on. And so it's really easy that, oh, you did this. Okay. Well, he does this. Well, okay. Then she does this. All right. Good. We're done. But yeah, never going to run that many again. The rest of the breakdown stuff, you're just going to have to wait and I will get to that. But I'm having a great time. I absolutely love this game. It has, like every Paranoia game, I always worry because it feels at points to me kind of directionless. And not directionless so much as it's the idea of, look, I have a plot. I have a very specific plot from the beginning. I throw out weird situations. I give you guys conflicting instructions. I put you in a place where things are going to happen. And then I just let you do it. And I let you guys do whatever you're going to want. It is really open world and you guys go crazy with it. And when I say directionless, I mean, it gets to the point where you've all run off in your own particular things, and I start to wonder, okay, so how am I going to resolve this? How am I going to bring it all back together? At what point is everyone going to... Yeah, I mean, because it's okay to have everybody die by the end. It's okay to have a complete mission failure. I've done that plenty of times. Mission failure is par for the course. But I would like, when we get to the very end, I would like some sort of resolution that makes it feel like this was a cohesive narrative, makes it feel like this was all a real story, an intentional story. And so there were parts of this game where you guys went so far afield that I had no idea what was going to happen. And now, strangely, I mean, the timing could not have been more perfect, and everybody's in the right spot, and boom, everybody comes together at the last minute. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. And so, Are we close to finishing? Maybe. I mean, it feels like it, doesn't it? Oh, man, but so many things could go wrong at this point. So we'll see. And there's still, so there's one person who is having their last clone issued right now. There are at least two people who haven't lost a single clone yet. So we have got so many spare clones in this game. Who knows what's going to happen? But we'll get there. We'll get there, and I'm having a blast. I really can't wait to be able to explain it all. I want to send out the scripts. I want you guys to see everything that happened. We'll see how it goes. So it's coming soon. All right. Next up is from Kaz Monster, and Kaz says, "I could use some good news, Mike. Tell me something great that your kids did for the Thanksgiving holiday." Oh, good news. Well, I told you about playing Cards Against Humanity, which was great. We worked on creating Pathfinder characters for our new Pathfinder game, which was awesome. My kids are so creative, and I have such a good time with them. They spent most of the weekend just hanging out with cousins because everybody was in town, and they just had a really good time. It was a lot of fun. Also, he says, "Something simple and easy. Do you prefer cranberry jam or gravy on your leftover sandwiches?" I don't care for cranberry jam. I go for the gravy. But let me tell you what I did this year. The dishes that everybody picked, because I told you, everybody just gets to pick a dish and we go. When I sat down, well, before I sat down, as I'm going through the kitchen to go through our buffet line of all the stuff laid out on the counters, I realize I have everything I need to make a mashed potato bowl. I'm so excited. So instead of serving up my traditional Thanksgiving dinner, no, I took a big mound of mashed potatoes in the center of my plate, all right, with, of course, a good indention in it because you got to have a space to hold stuff. And then I covered the whole thing with corn. And then I added on some, I took the turkey breast that I was going to have. I took it and I shredded up my turkey breast. And so I added turkey, shredded turkey onto the top of the mashed potatoes and corn, and then spooned some gravy over the whole stuff, went in the fridge, grabbed some shredded cheese, sprinkled some shredded cheddar over the top of the whole thing. It was amazing. Oh, man, I love that, because Kentucky Fried Chicken used to do the KFC mashed potato bowls, and it was exactly like this. It would be mashed potatoes, corn, gravy, cheese, and then, you know, like chicken nuggets jammed into it or something. Well, here's the same concept, except, oh, man, mashed potatoes, corn, gravy, turkey, and cheese. I was in heaven. Oh, man, I stuffed myself on that. It was awesome. But, yeah, I'm not a big fan of cranberries. I absolutely will spoon a little bit of gravy onto my leftover sandwiches. Absolutely. Oh, I do have another great thing that happened this weekend. When Jacob came home, Jacob brought his hedgehog with him, Miles. And Jacob is a really fantastic hedgehog owner. He did all of his research ahead of time. He looked into what this animal needs for socialization, what it needs for entertainment, what it needs for, he really put in the work, and he puts in time with his hedgehog. He spends time with his hedgehog every single day. And, I'm really proud of him for doing that. And so when he comes home for Thanksgiving, he's going to be here for the whole 4 days. So he brought his hedgehog home with him, and we got the hedgehog out and introduced it to the cat, Bugbear. And so Miles and Bugbear got to meet each other, and it was just adorable, absolutely adorable. I know Jacob got some pictures. I'm hoping he put them out somewhere. Maybe I can share them. But it was just really cute. I mean, they both sniffed each other. They played around a little bit. I mean, it wasn't like playing. I don't think they ever decided that they could trust each other. But it was really cool to watch them interact, because neither one of them was frightened or over the top or anything like that, but also neither were they very friendly. But they kept sniffing at each other and just looking, because, you know, cat, predator, claws, you know, he's got the attacks going, but hedgehog, spiky and invulnerable. I mean, they're really inedible creatures. It is, I mean, the worst thing that could have happened with this interaction would have been if Bugbear had decided to go nuts and start batting him around, in which case, Miles would simply roll up into a ball and nothing would happen to him, and Bugbear would get a couple of quills in his paw and learn a lesson. But we didn't even get to that point. It was just so much fun to watch them. They were so cute. All right. that is the end of listener betrayal on my forums. So let's go on out to Facebook and see who responded here. And it looks like Nellie and Sarah Beth, for sure. I don't see anyone else's names on here, but let's get to the page. We'll find out. Oh my God, this is awesome. This is so awesome. All right. Yes, I have Sarah Beth and I have Nellie. Those are my only two responses on Facebook. But the first one from Sarah Beth says, from Evangeline, thank you for making my mommy Sarah Beth and my daddy Pat Votra happy with your podcast. I'm so touched. I am so deeply touched. That is very sweet. And absolutely, I appreciate them being a part of my life. I appreciate them participating in this podcast. I appreciate them being on my website, playing games with them, getting to see them at Gen Con, getting to message them and talk to them. And they are very good friends. And absolutely, Evangeline, I am thrilled to death. Thrilled to death to have them in my life. You guys are all awesome. This is wonderful. I do this podcast because it makes me happy, and hopefully it reaches out to other people. And so I'm glad to hear you say that. Thank you. All right. Next up is Nellie. And Nellie says, happy holidays. Hey, happy holidays to you as well. Did you get any great Black Friday deals? No, I'm not going out on Black Friday. What, are you crazy? Not my thing. Is your Christmas shopping done yet? No. In fact, my Christmas shopping is barely even started. However, a big chunk of my Christmas shopping is going to Amazon and simply ordering it, and it's going to come in a series of big boxes, and then we'll have everything we need. Honestly, I'm going to guess about 80%, 85% of our Christmas shopping is going to get done online. And I'll probably wind up helping my wife with that, and she'll get that done this week, and because I know she's made the lists of, you know, who we need to buy for, and we've gathered up Christmas lists from various people, to most specifically the kids, to find out what it is that they're looking for, and we'll weigh things out. We'll get most of our shopping done this week, and then next weekend we'll make a trip to, we have shopping here in town, but we'll make a trip to like Sioux City or Omaha or something like that, and hit one of the malls there. And we like doing it just because it gives us a chance to, we make a day trip out of it. We get away from the kids for the day, get to do, the hard Christmas shopping, the stuff that you can't just easily go online and just grab stuff. I mean, you really kind of, think about it. You got to look a little bit, stimulate the imagination, as it were, work out your gift-giving muscles. And so we'll go out and do that, and then we'll have a nice meal together and make a date, and it'll be a lot of fun. So I'm hoping that by the time I record next week, I'll be able to say that we've got, 90-some percent of our shopping done. But no, so far, I'm going to guess we're at about 5%. So not doing much yet, but we're going to get there, and it'll be awesome. So anyway, that is the end of this podcast. I said it was going to be a quick one, and I already pushed it to an hour. So there you go. Thank you guys for showing up. I love you all. I hope you're having a wonderful Thanksgiving weekend. I hope your holidays are going to be awesome. Everything's going to be great. Trust me on this. It's going to be great. I'll see you guys next week. Bye.